you're not, if you are disappointed that Brother Glenn Weeks is here, so am I. Brother Glenn, actually, he was the man who was preaching the night that I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour. And that's some 37 plus years ago now, so it's been a while. But it would have been a blessing to have seen him, but the Lord had other plans. So tonight we're going to look in the book of John chapter 9. And there's some wonderful thoughts in this passage, and I want to share those with us. So John chapter 9, I'll just read up to verse 12. We'll look through the whole chapter as we go, but I'll just read through the first 12 verses just by introduction, then we'll have a look at it. But John chapter 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbours, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. And therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. He said, I don't know where he is. Let's just pray, and then we'll have a look into this passage. Father, we again thank you for tonight, and ask, Lord, you'd grant to us, Lord, just the understanding that you'd have for us tonight from your word. It's a wonderful passage, a wonderful work that the Lord Jesus did in this man's life. And Lord, there's many things we can learn from it, and may it be a blessing and an encouragement to us, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, I didn't read the last verse of chapter 8, but it says in that last verse, Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So the Lord Jesus was under pressure, we would say. The Pharisees and others wanted to kill him, but he went out of the temple, and he passed by. And notice it there again in verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. It's interesting you think about it. The Lord Jesus is in danger of his own life, yet he still has time to stop and talk to this fellow and deal with him. You know, sometimes we're so busy with life, we just ignore people. We maybe don't mean to, but we're caught up in this and we're caught up in that, and there are people around us who could do with some help, amen? But we get caught up in this and caught up in that, and it's all legitimate, but somehow we kind of miss out. Well, not so with the Lord Jesus. He passed by, saw a man which was born blind from birth. And we know from verse 8 that he was a beggar. It says, Is not this he that sat and begged? Now, he's born blind from birth. They didn't have all the welfare we got today, amen. Life was pretty difficult for them back there. And so here's this man, and the Lord Jesus seeks him out. Notice verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the disciples have missed the whole point here. They've missed the point as to why the Lord Jesus stopped. All they said, Who was Jesus? This fellow here is blind. Who sinned, him or his parents? I'm not sure what that's got to do with anything, but it's interesting. Who sinned, him or his parents? And you say, why would they ask, did he sin? I mean, he was born blind. Maybe they thought somewhere in the womb he'd sinned. I don't know what they thought, but nevertheless, they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And the Lord Jesus made a wonderful comment. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The Lord Jesus said, it's got nothing to do with sin. This man was born blind from birth. This was part of God's plan. God has a plan for this man's work. This man's life. And I don't know about you, but I hear often, you know, if there's a God, why does he allow this and why that and how come this one's, you know, all those sort of questions. This passage can be helpful. Not that everybody gets healed, but that God does have a plan. It doesn't take him by surprise. You know, when Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and captivity, one of the excuses he made, he said, God, I can't do it. I can't speak. I'm not very good at talking. And God said to him, Moses, who made the blind? Who made the dumb? Who made all these people? He said, I'm aware of that. This doesn't kind of catch me by surprise, and I don't sit there scratching my head, oh, that person's born blind. How did that happen? I don't know what to do. That's not how it is. It does leave us with questions, though, doesn't it? Why was this man born blind and not that one? Don't know. Why did God heal this one and that one? Don't know. But that's not the relevant question to ask, because they're questions that we will never know the answers to this side of glory. Who'd sinned? Well, it wasn't the man and it wasn't his parents. But God's got a plan. He said, it's all right that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, there's going to be, he didn't say this in these words, but basically said, I'm going to do something soon that everybody's going to go, wow, isn't God amazing? How powerful is God? He said, that's what it's about. Notice what he says in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Right? Again, there's a challenge to us. There's a must there. Right? I must work the works of him that sent me. What was the most important thing in that sense in the Lord Jesus' life? To do the work of God the Father. Again, we get so caught up in the things of this world and all the triviality and the things that go on there, and we sometimes lose the must. I must be about my Father's business. I must be doing what God asked me to do. And yes, I can help you because I believe that's part of God's plan, but sometimes I have to say, no, sorry, I've got other things that I need to do. There's a must there. I must do the works of him that sent me. Well, in verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So he says, look, time's running out. The night cometh when no man can work. But by the way, while I'm here, I am the light of the world. The Bible tells us that the entrance of God's word gives light. And who's the Lord Jesus? He is the living word. He's the one who gives light and life to all. And so we look in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, you know, I'm sure the people would look at that and said, what's he doing? How stupid is that? Here's the man born blind from birth, and here's this man Jesus. He spits on the ground, gets all the dust together, makes a bit of clay and puts it on his eye. What is he doing? You know, sometimes God does things in ways that we go, what is that all about? And then afterwards when we see the results, that we go, oh, now I understand. We have to be careful that we don't prejudge things, amen. Let God do what he wants to do and then see how it works out afterwards. So he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. You could say, well, that was foolish. But you know what? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross or the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who don't believe. You know, you go out there and you want to talk to people about God and about the Lord Jesus and talk to them about the need to trust Christ as their Savior. People just go, what? 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 What's all this about? This is foolishness. And God said, well, that's what people will say. They'll call it foolishness. But we'll see what happens for those who respond. You notice in verse 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Just a simple instruction, wasn't it? He's put the clay and spittle on his eyes, or on the sockets at least. We don't know whether he had eyes or whether he was born without eyes, and whatever it was, but he was blind from birth. And the Lord Jesus just gave him a simple command, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Just go and wash your eyes. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Not difficult to understand. Not tricky. You know, it's the same with the gospel. The Bible says that we're sinners, that the Lord Jesus died for on the cross to pay for our sins, the penalty of our sins. There's a penalty of wage of sin. That if we would believe that and trust what Christ did for us on the cross, and that he was raised from the dead physically and bodily, God says you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. It's simple enough. Now, to work that out can be tricky in a sense. But it's simple enough. But this man, we don't find... Now, hang on. What do I have to do that for? What do I have to go down there? Why did you put him on? Why did you put that mud there in the first place anyway? You know, people, you try and talk about the Lord and they get all these questions and all this, you know, what about this and why that and how come you did that and what did you do that for? Instead of just sticking to the topic, you know. Just go down to the pool and wash your face. What does the Bible say? He went his way and washed and came seeing. Simple as that. It was just that simple. Jesus said, just do this. Go down to the pool there at Siloam, the pool called Sent, and just wash your face and it'll be all good. Well, he did. That's what that's called? It's called faith. That's called believing what the Word of God says, in this case, the Lord Jesus. Just do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So it is that simple in that sense. And so this man's a good illustration for us. Keep it simple. You know the KISS principle? Keep it simple, stupid. Don't complicate things. Don't. Just keep it simple. We're sinners that Christ died for. He was buried and raised again. If we believe that, we have forgiveness and everlasting life. So what happens now in verse 8 and 9? The neighbours, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. But he said, I am he. I am. I was born blind. The man's different. And guess what? The neighbours are pretty surprised, don't they? I've noticed that when someone trusts the Lord Jesus as their saviour, the neighbours and friends get a bit surprised. So what's happened to you? You got all religious or something. What's happened to you? And on it goes. You ever found that? Especially when you're a young Christian, people are going to be asking, what about this and what about that? And what's happened to you? Well, how come you're all religious now? And on, you ever heard that? Yeah, it's what happens. Are you the same person? Yes, I'm the same person. Are you the man born blind from birth? Yeah, that's me. But you're all different now. Now you can actually, you got eyes and you can see. That's right. It's me. Oh, okay. That's what it says next up there in verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? How is it you can see now? What happened? I mean, this is amazing. Wow. So it is, we're wondering whether you're the same. You're the same fellow. That's me. So how can you see now? What's happened to you? What's going on? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So it's very simple. Jesus put some clay with spittle on my eye sockets there, said, go down the wash of the pool. I went down here, I can see. You know, that's salvation. It's simple. So how did Jesus do that? See the sort of questions we come up with rather than just accepting it in simple faith? Well, how did God do that? I don't know. God is all powerful. He spoke the worlds into existence. There's no problem for him. Again, try and keep it simple. Just a man called Jesus. I don't know a whole lot about him yet. In fact, I haven't even seen him yet. I was blind at the time. All I know is he said, go down the pool and wash. I hear him, I can see. Now we notice something here, and there's a progression here. At this point, this man says, a man that is called Jesus. That's all he knows at this point, amen? He can see now, but he doesn't know a whole lot about the Lord Jesus. And notice something else here, and this is where we need wisdom. This man's a beggar. He's down there begging. Jesus comes along, notices he's blind, knows he's born blind from birth, and works out the way to heal him. But he doesn't grab him by the throat and say, "Listen, do you understand? If you don't believe in me, you'll go to hell." Now, there might be some people you can do that to, but let me encourage you and suggest that's not the best way to tackle people. The Lord Jesus didn't even say, "You need to trust me as your Saviour now." All he did is fixed his eyes up and said, "See you later." Now, I just say that sometimes we need wisdom. I've shared with folk who come regularly, one of the men in the prison, he was telling me one night recently, he said, "Yeah, God's challenged me a bit," because he's a very zealous fella. I mean, his background is he's been in every bikie gang, he's been shot a couple of times, he's a drug dealer, drunkard, you name it, everything possible, and now he's a Christian. And because of his background, he just wants to tell everybody, you know, what's happened and what the Lord's done. And he said, "I've learnt that I've got to kind of just, you know, quieten down a little bit." And I said, "Oh, praise the Lord, that's good." He said, he hasn't lost his zeal and desire in the sense to tell people, but he's kind of tempering it a little bit. And so I believe there's a good illustration there. The Lord didn't just go, "Here's the gospel, you know, do you realise you're going to go to hell?" No, and that sometimes maybe you've got to tell someone that. But so what I'm saying, there's a progression here. God's timing in all this. Notice what he says, "I went and washed and I received sight." Then said unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know where he is." Well, they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Simple enough. He said, that's what happened. "Therefore," said some of the Pharisees, "this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. You know, there's always a division about the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he's done. Within Christianity, there's a division about it, so-called Christianity. "Well, I think he was just a good man." "Oh, really?" "Hey, I think he was a prophet." "Really? Who was he?" "Well," and on it goes. And so there's a division. Here they said, "Well, this man hasn't kept the Sabbath. And if you haven't kept the Sabbath, how could you be of God?" You see what happens with religion? We get all these rules and regulations, and then if you don't tick the boxes, you're in trouble. Well, the Lord Jesus dealt with that on other occasions because they kept challenging. He was doing things on the Sabbath, healing people. And it was not wrong to heal people on the Sabbath. God had sent a commandment to the nation of Israel. "I don't want you to work on the Sabbath. I want you to have a day of rest, one day a week." The religious people took that to a whole new level and said, "Okay, you can't do anything on the day, on the Sabbath day. You can't even walk further than this distance and everything else." And the Lord Jesus, one of the things he had to deal with this whole foolishness and false teaching about the Sabbath. And so now they're after him. But others said, "No, hang on. How can a man that is a sinner cause a man who was blind from birth to see?" So now there's a division. "We understand what you're saying about the Sabbath, but he can't be a sinner because otherwise he wouldn't be able to heal this man. This doesn't make any sense." And so there's a division. Well, that happens. And verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Now notice where the Lord Jesus is becoming more and more known to this man. He's gone, "He's just a man, Jesus. Now he's a prophet." He's had time to think about it. Yeah, he's got to be more than a man. And we don't know what he was thinking, but I'm suggesting he'd be thinking, "They keep challenging me and I'm listening to what they're saying, but maybe he's a bit more than a man, because how could any man give me sight? Must be a prophet at least." Okay. He said, "Well, he's a prophet." Well, they weren't happy with that. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind. They said, They didn't even believe he was blind now. Hello. Talk about people trying to dodge. Amen. You ever found that? You want to talk to people about the Lord and they come up, this question, that question, move here, move there, go round and round in circles instead of just sitting down, you know, and just being, okay, let's just look at this straight on. No. The Jews did not believe concerning that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Okay, fair enough, we want proof. All right. They asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Okay, let's go and talk to the parents. Now, this fellow here, is he your son? Yeah, well, let's know. And then, was he born blind and how can he see now? What's the story? Well, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, that he's born blind. Said, we can give you two ticks there. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Look, he's a big boy, go and ask him. That's our son, yes. He was born blind, yes. How he can see now, don't know. Go ask him. Simple enough. These words spake his parents, because why? Because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Uh-oh, here's a problem. The parents actually knew who'd done it. But they were afraid of what might happen if they said it was Jesus. Because the Pharisees had said, if anybody confesses that this man Jesus is the Christ, he is, or they are, out. End of story. Now, to be out was bad news. Because if you were put out by the Pharisees, that meant you're going to lose all contact with people you know. It meant you're going to lose your job. It going to mean all the things that will flow from that. And so they're afraid. If we say this was Jesus who did it, you go ask him. You know, sometimes we kind of at least hesitate about talking to people, don't we, about the Lord, because we think, what will they say? What will they think? It's like when you go door knocking. What are they going to say? What if they... What you say? What happens? Usually not a lot. Been threatened a couple of times that people are going to punch me out and all that sort of stuff. Nobody has yet, praise the Lord. But we have to be careful, as the book of Proverbs says, the fear of man brings a snare. Now, we're not to be foolish and put ourselves in positions that we don't need to. But we ought not to be afraid of talking to people about the Lord if the opportunity's there, amen? We ought to be able to do that. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. And notice what happens. Therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. Come on, give God the praise. This man, Jesus, is a sinner. Now, you just praise God for what's happened. And notice what he says next. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I like that statement. He said, whether you guys like it or not, I might not be able to give you all the explanations you want. I might not be able to answer all your questions. But let me tell you this, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. It's like when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. The night I did that, and as I mentioned earlier, Brother Glenn Weeks was preaching. And that night he challenged people, have you ever done business with God? And I that night, that was only the third time I'd been in that church over a four-month period. And I didn't even go there to find God the first place. And I thought, do I really believe in God? He says, have you ever done business with God? And I thought, well, I'm not sure that I believe in God. But then obviously I haven't done business with God, whatever that means at the moment. And so he said, here's the thing. He said, here's what the gospel says, that we're sinners, that Jesus died for on the cross and was buried and raised again. And we need to turn to him and ask him to forgive us, and then he'll forgive our sins and he'll, what the Bible calls, save us from that penalty of sin. And if you'd like to do that tonight, just slip your hand up and we'll say a prayer and then, you know, whatever. And so I was sitting up the back, nobody knew me there basically, and I thought, well, this sounds okay, I'll just put my hand up and see what happens. And so he said, look, pray the prayer in your heart, don't say it out loud. And I didn't know what he was talking about when you pray in your heart, but I just went through my mind. And then he said, okay, now we're going to sing a hymn and go home. And so that's all very good. And then He said, now before we sing the hymn though, he said, what I want you to think about is this. If you put your hand up tonight and you said you want to do business with God and you're serious, then I want to invite you to come forward in the meeting and just shake the pastor by the hand and he'll be able to encourage you. Well, they started singing, you know, and after a verse and chorus, they stopped. He stopped the singing. Now look, he said, some of you here tonight said you want to do business with God. He said, this person, whatever. And he said, but here you are tonight. He said, you might be here tonight and you might only have just a little bit of faith. And I thought, he's talking to me, this fella. A little bit of faith. I don't know whether I've got even that much, but okay, let's go with that. And he said, but if you've got a little bit of faith and you are serious, he said, there's four things that are important if you're going to have God answer that prayer. He said, number one, you have to believe God's there. I said, okay. And I obviously this was happening fairly quickly at the time. I think, is God there or not? If God's not there, then we're all hopeless. If God's there, okay, I don't know who he is, but we'll go with God. He said, number two, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And I thought, well, that's what the Bible says, so I'll take that on board. And number three, that Jesus was raised physically and bodily from the dead. And I thought, hang on, how could that happen? How could someone be raised from the dead physically and bodily? Now, just a minute, I'm thinking this in my head, just a minute. If I say I believe in God, then I'd believe in a God who could do anything. If he can do anything, he could raise someone from the dead. So I accept that. Yeah, okay, I accept number three. He said, number four, you're a sinner. You have to believe that. Probably. Yeah, I think God could find some things if he had to look. Didn't have to look too far. So he said, based on those four things, if you are serious, then I want you to come forward, just shake the pastor by the hand. He said, coming forward won't change you, nothing will change you. But if you, in your heart, if you're in your thinking, in your life, you want this to become real for you, he said, God will hear it because he says if you call, he'll answer, come forward. I went forward, I said, I've got a few questions, you know, whatever, spoke about some things. He showed me some scriptures, he's the pastor's brother, we went through it. That was it, came out. I didn't get zapped, didn't get anything. But I knew that night that I was at rest in a way I'd never been before in my life. I was just at rest, at peace. Now, the point I'm going to make is, if you'd said, who's the Lord Jesus? I would have said, I don't know. he's according to what I've been told tonight, he's obviously, you know, the Son of God, or he's the Saviour or something. But I could have said that night, but one thing I do know, whereas before I was never at peace, now I am. Now I know that this is real. So you don't have to be able to explain it all, amen? When you do business with God, you'll know it. You cannot not know it. I mean, you're doing business with the creator of the universe. You'll know it. And that night, by God's grace, I got saved. One thing I know. So they said in verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How did that happen? What did he do? Like if someone asked me, what happened? I'd say, I don't know. All I know is I was following the instructions, as it were, and God did the rest. That's all I can tell you. Well, he answered them, I have told you already, you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? So if I tell you again, will you become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We don't want anything to do with him. It's rubbish what you're talking about. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, this is a little bit sarcastic, I think. Why, herein is a marvellous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He says, isn't this amazing? You're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. You're supposed to be all so clever and all so wise. This man has opened my eyes and you can't even believe who he is or don't even know who he is. Like, where are you guys at? he says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. He said, come on, this man can't be a sinner. How could he have given me sight if he was a sinner? Come on, you Pharisees, think about it. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He said, this has never happened before on planet Earth. And you're saying this man's a sinner who's caused me to be able to see? He said, this is just ridiculous. You want me to take you seriously, you fellas? Well, amazing. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He said, he has to be of God. If you're not a God, you can't give up. You can't give sight to people who are born blind. That's foolishness. They answered and said to him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" They cast him out. They weren't prepared to face up to the truth. They had their own agenda, and they said, "Get out of here, we don't want to see you again." Well, that can happen sometimes. You become a Christian, you might lose a few friends along the way. Not because you want to lose them, because you want them to come and be part of God's family as well. But they're like these fellas. "Don't talk to us about it. Get out of here." You ever had that happen? Yeah, it can happen. Notice verse 35. Jesus heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now, the Lord Jesus was mindful of what he was going through. Amen. He knows what we go. He knows the tests. He knows the trials. He knows the persecutions and all the things that can happen to us. And he's concerned for us. He cares for us. And so he comes to this man and says, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Got a question for you. Notice verse 36. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" He said, "I want to, but I'm just not sure who he is." You ever been there? I want to know the truth, but I'm just not quite sure. Well, that's where God comes in and confirms it, amen? He comes in and confirms it. He says, "I want to believe." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with you." He said, "I'm the Son of God." John the Baptist, when he was ministering there early in the Lord Jesus' ministry, and the Lord Jesus came, and he said, "Hey," he said, "this man here, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God." In John chapter 20, we won't turn there, but John said, "I've written these things so that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God." He's the Son of God. He's the Saviour of the world. And notice what his response was. I love it. And he said, "Lord, I believe." He said, "I believe." Simple, isn't it? Jesus is the Son of God. I'll believe that. I'll believe that. If he can give sight to the blind, if he can raise the dead, if he can do that, I believe he's the Son of God. I don't have a problem with that. And then if I don't have a problem with that, then I should be able to simply believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, came from heaven's glory, and suffered all he did, and paid the price for our sins, and was raised physically and bodily from the grave. We can believe that. Lord, I believe. I believe that. I believe that. But and so it tells us something here. Lord, I believe. It's more than just, "Oh, I've got my eyesight, isn't that wonderful?" I believe at this point, this man is now saved. You say, "Well, I'll give you an illustration. The thief on the cross. You remember there's two thieves, one either side of the Lord Jesus. They were both ridiculing and mocking him. One changed and got to that point and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom." He's confessing that the Lord Jesus was Lord. He said, "When you come into your kingdom, remember me." He's saying, "I believe you're going to be raised from the dead because you're going to come and establish your kingdom." Now, how did Paul describe that for us in Romans 10? He said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God's raised from the dead, you'll be saved." If we'll confess with our heart who he is, then we'll be saved. So this man confesses now with his mouth. Yeah? "Lord, I believe. I believe." And notice what happens? He worshipped him. That's always what happens. When someone gets saved, the next thing we want to do is worship the Lord. After all he's done and all the things that he does for our lives. And from then on, he's our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And worship always follows that. I don't know where you're at tonight. Are you the man born blind? In other words, in this sense, have you trusted the Lord Jesus as you say? Have you got to the last part, or you're still working your way down? Jesus is a man, or he's a good man. He's a prophet. He can't be a sinner. Where are you at tonight? Or can you say with confidence, "No, he's the Son of God. He's my Saviour. I know that. I can't explain it all, but I know he is." Is that you and I tonight? I trust you can say, "Lord, that's that before God, I can say he is the Son of God. He is my Saviour." Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for this passage in your word. We thank you for our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the wonderful way he worked in that man's life. He graciously gave him sight, having been born blind. Graciously showed your power, your amazing power, your ability. Lord, in a way which we would see, my, why would you do that? But we see the fruit of it. We see the man healed. We see the man coming to a greater and a greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus until he could say, Lord, I believe. But even before he got to that point, he could say, I know. I know. One thing I know. Once I was blind, now I can see. Father, that's really the testimony we understand of every true believer in the Lord Jesus. We can say, once I was blind, but now I see. We see that in the hymns we sing. We sing that tonight. The amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Once I was blind, but now I see. Father, you know our hearts tonight, and I don't know everybody's heart and where they're at in their relationship with you, even if they have a relationship with you. But Father, I do pray if there's anybody here tonight who was like that man sitting down or standing there begging, hadn't yet come to know the Lord, blind physically. Lord, until we trust you as Lord and Saviour, we're blind spiritually. If there's anybody here tonight, Lord, you know our hearts, that they've never come to that place of saying, I believe that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, died in my place on the cross and was buried and raised again. I believe he did that for me. And I'm trusting him as my Saviour. Lord, if there's anybody like that tonight, I pray. I pray, Lord, that before this night is over, they might just in simplicity, as we have said, this is very simple in one sense, believe what the Bible says, that we're sinners that Jesus died for and was raised again on our behalf. Trust him. Ask him for forgiveness. And he'll grant that. Father, if there's anybody tonight who's never done that but would like to, Lord, I pray you'd bring them to that point. And just while our eyes are closed and head bowed, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, ask you to come forward, but maybe God's spoken to you and you have to say, Pastor Cotton, I've never heard anything like this before, but I hear what you're saying, and I hear, in a sense, the simplicity of what Jesus did on the cross. He died for my sins and was raised again, and he wants to give me eternal life. I'd like to know about that. Could you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up again. You don't have to come out. I'm not going to ask you to make a speech. I'd just like to pray for you. Yeah, Lord bless you. I see your hand. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Lord bless you. Father, I do pray for those who've raised their hand, Lord, that they might come to that place of settled rest that this man came to. He could say, I know. And I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, and then worship him. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon them, and, Lord, each one of us, and I commit to you our fellowship, our time together, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. I'd like just to sing one more hymn.